I've been preaching on the seven sayings of the Savior from the cross, and we're down to the last one, there in verse 26. And when Jesus had cried with a loud voice, He said, "Father, into Thy hands I commend My spirit." And having said thus, He gave up the ghost. This is the last saying of our Lord on the cross. This is the last word He spoke. This is the last act before He dies. When our Lord Jesus hung upon the cross, seven times He spoke. And seven in the Scriptures always means completeness. It means perfection. And when our Lord was on the cross, as everywhere else you see Him in the Bible, we see the perfections of the Lord Jesus Christ. Even on the cross, seven sayings, perfect, complete. And the very fact that shows us He's in control, He says, when He cried with a loud voice. It wasn't a weakling there. That was just, He was there still in absolute control of Himself. And seven also, not only does it mean perfect and complete, and our Lord was perfect in all of His ways, and all His perfections were seen clearly on the cross. Seven is also the number of rest. God created the earth in 6 days, and on the seventh day, He rested. Now, God wasn't tired, and it says our Lord Jesus Christ, He finished His work. He cried, "It is finished." And He comes into rest now into His Father's hands. His work is done. His work is complete, as God's was. And now He's going to put His health into the hands of His Father. And that's where He's going to leave him. And He's going to leave him there that day. And He brings him into the Father's rest. "Into Thy hands, O Father, I commend My spirit." And as our Lord finished the work, given to Him, He said, "Father, I'm done. It's done." He said, "It's finished. It's done. I finished it. It's over. Now the last thing I'm going to do is I'm going to put Myself in Your hands. The most wonderful, most blessed, most glorious place to be, in the hands of the Father." And He said, "That's what I'm going to do." And seven times our Lord spoke. Three times He spoke that concerned men. He said, first of all, "Father, forgive them." No, excuse me. The first time He spoke about men, He says, "Today you'll be with Me in paradise." To another, when John stood before Him, He said, "Son, behold your mother. Mother, behold your son." Gave His mother into the care of John. And then to the crowd at large, He said, "I thirst." Three times He spoke to men. Three times He spoke to God. The first word out of His mouth was, "Father." See, the relationship's still good. The darkness hasn't come yet. God hasn't forsaken Him yet. And He says, "Oh Lord, forgive them. Father, forgive them. They're ignorant of what they're doing. They're ignorant of who they're crucifying. They're ignorant that I'm the Lord of glory. They're ignorant as to what they think they're accomplishing. They're ignorant. So Father, forgive them. Forgive them." And I'll tell you one thing, God answered that prayer for me. When our Lord prayed, "Father, forgive them," He was praying down through eternity and praying for all before and all that's after. And because He prayed that prayer, I can stand here saying, "I'm forgiven because Christ prayed for me." And Christ continually prays for me. Ain't you thankful that Christ said, "Father, forgive them"? There's ignorant of their death. There's ignorant of their sin. They're ignorant of that just I'm the Lord of glory. They're ignorant that I was God manifest. They're ignorant that I was a man. They're ignorant that I'm bearing their sins for them. Father, forgive them. And then he cried out when that darkness came over the earth. He said, Father, my Father, oh my God, of all the people you've forsaken in this world, you forsake everybody in the flood. You forsake everybody in Sodom and Gomorrah, but Lot and his two daughters. And I tell you, they all have been forsaken. But oh my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Me, the son of your love. Me, the one that was with you in eternity. Me, the living word. Me, the word and by which you created everything. Why have you forsaken me? And here's the third thing he says to his father. To God, Father, into thy hands commend my spirit. You know, when our Lord, and that's what he says, now into thy hands he commends his spirit. In the hearing of men, in the hearing of God, in the hearing of devils, and it still rings out through all eternity. When our Lord cried in victory and he cried in triumph and he said, it is finished. It's done. You want to know why it's how it's done? He said, look at that temple. Go back in that temple. And those priests went back in there and that veil was rent from top to bottom. And the world and the holiest of holies was seen. And everybody that Christ died for is going to have access to it. Everybody can go behind the veil now. Everybody can enter into the holiest of holies now. And oh, he said, oh Father, into my hand. Oh, and you know that every word that our Savior said was a prophecy that was fulfilled. You can find every word he said in these Old Testament scriptures. Huh? That's what the scriptures mean by him. The prophets give witness. Look over here in Psalm 31. Here's the prophecy concerning this. Well, our Lord Jesus cried, into thy hands I commend my spirit. Psalm 31. Everything that our Savior said was a fulfillment of a prophecy. You know, and after he was with his disciples there in Luke 24, said he is walking with them, and he opened the scriptures to their understanding. You know, if we have any understanding at all the scriptures, he's the one that opens it.
Amen.
If he don't open it, it ain't going to be open. You know, we're born with a shut mind. You say, boy, I tell you what, he's a narrow mind. He can't teach you nothing. He just can't understand. But I tell you what, if God gives you understanding, Christ gives you understanding, you get a brand new Bible. Ain't that right? You got a Bible that you didn't even know that there's verses of scriptures and things you look at that you say, well, I didn't know that's in the Bible. But boy, you find it in there. You find out, oh, what a blessed Savior we have. But look here at Psalm 31. Let's read these first five verses. In thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Let me never be ashamed. But here he is. Deliver me in thy righteousness. And that's what's fixing to happen. Bow down thine ear to me. God, listen to me, Father. You be my strong rock for a house of defense to save me. For you're my rock, rock of ages. You're my fortress. Therefore, for thy name's sake, lead me and guide me. And he says, pull me out of the net. And oh, they laid a net for our Lord, that they laid privately for me, for thou art my strength. Now listen to this. Into thy hand I commit my Spirit. Into thy hands I commit my spirit. So everything that our Savior said on the cross, you can find it in the Old Testament. Now let me say this. I don't know how many points of God I have to look to see, but I'm not going to take all day to say them. But when our Savior said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit, the Savior comes back into communion with the Father. You know, for a while, that fellowship was broken. Why was it broken? Because it said it pleased the Father to make His soul an offering for sin. It pleased the Father to bruise Him. God made Him to be sin, who knew no sin. God made our sins to meet on Him on the cross, and He was bearing our sin. And when sin's found on someone, God Himself cannot look. He's of pure eyes than to behold evil. He's of pure eyes than to behold iniquity. And God said He will by no means clear the guilty. And all of us was born in guilt. All of us lived under guilt until Christ went to that cross. And as He was hanging on that cross, when it got dark because sin was found on Him, and in the sight of God, sin is black, sin is dark, sin is horrible, sin is a disease. And when God made it to meet on Christ, God said, I don't want the world to see this, and pull down the curtains in this world. And says, now me and my Son will deal with one another here. And I tell you what, you think it was dark in all the earth for this. You imagine what darkness is going to be for those who don't know God and don't know Christ and don't trust Christ. He said, they'll be cast into outer darkness. And our Lord went through the darkness that you and I would have went through eternally had not our Lord Jesus Christ bore our sins. You know, the Scripture says we know we've passed from darkness to light. How do we know? Because we love the brethren. He says, you know, said the light shines in darkness. And that's why our Lord said, Father, forgive them. They know not what to do. The light shines in darkness. And darkness said, I don't comprehend. I don't understand that. I don't see that. But yet, that's what God did. And the darkness now has passed. It says, you know what it says there? In verse 44 here of Luke 24, and it was about the sixth hour, 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and the darkness over all the earth until the ninth hour. It started at noon, and at 3 o'clock, the sun come back out. The light come back. And you know why the light come back? Because our Lord said, it is finished. Just like you preached on last Sunday night, He entered once into that holy place and offered His own blood. And He came back out with eternal redemption. Eternal redemption all the way from Abel to the last soul on this earth. And oh my, He took that awful, awful cup from His Father's hand. He said, look with me in John 8. Keep Luke 24. Look over here in John 18 with me. Look in John 18:11. You know, our Lord, He went off into the garden and He prayed, Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. If it be possible, if it be possible. But look what is said here in John 18:11. They're coming out of the garden. And Simon cut off a man's ear. And our Lord said in verse 11, then said Jesus unto Peter, put up thy sword into the sheath, the cup which my Father hath given me. Do you think I shouldn't drink it? Shall I not drink it? I cannot do anything else but take it. You think I'm going to let this cup pass from me? God gave me a cup. My Father gave me a cup. It's full of His wrath. It's full of His justice. It's full of sin. It's full of everything. And I got to drink it. Got to drink it all. Got to drink it all. And that first cry from the Father, first cry was, Father, forgive them. And the last cry from the cross was, Father, into Thy hands I commit them. First cry was, Father. Second cry was, Father. Father, into Thy hands. Oh, when he was forsaken of God, now it's all done. The cup is drained. God's wrath and the storm clouds over. The sword smote his fellow, the shepherd. And now the sword has already went through and it's already pierced him and it's time to bring it out. Justice wipes his blood off of his blessed soul. And now, beloved, he's back in fellowship with his Father. And he'll never be forsaken of God, and that fellowship will never, ever be broken again. Never, never. And you know, when our Lord said here, Our Father, Father, into Thy hands I commend my spirit. How often do you reckon our Lord used that word, Father? First time you mention Him, mentioning the Father, you know when it was? He's 12 years old. 12 years old. And his mother and father come looking for him, and you know, they're scared, they're worried, and they found him sitting there, a whole bunch of smart men around him, the greatest men around him, the doctors and the lawyers and the rabbis and the scholars, they're all sitting around 12 years old. He was confounding them at 12. And his mother said, Why have you worried us so? Why have you frightened us? He said, Don't you know? Don't you understand? Wished you not that I be about my Father's business? He understood what he was here for when he was a child. And oh my. And in the Sermon on the Mount, the first sermon you find him preaching, other than when he opened the scriptures there in Luke 4, when he says, quoted from Isaiah 61, and said, This day is this first scripture fulfilled in your hearing. In the Sermon on the Mount, the first sermon he preached, he spoke of the Father 17 times. Oh, what a relationship he had with his Father. Spoke of his Father 17 times. And starting in John 14, 1, and you go to the end of John 17, those four chapters where he's alone with his disciples, and he's teaching them and instructing them, and he's going away and all the things that they're going to deal with while they're left in this world. You know how many times he mentions the Father in those four chapters? 45 times. And guess what? We say, Our Father. When I said, Lord, teach us to pray, you know what he said? Say, Our Father. You're in heaven. You're in heaven. We're on this earth. You've got all power. You've got all the glory. You've got all the might. You've got all the authority. Father, oh, my Father in heaven, You're holy. Your name's holy. And that's how we start praying. We address Him as He is. And, oh, my, isn't it a blessed thing to say, Our Father. You're up there. And yet You hear us. Yet You receive us. Yet You listen to us. Yet You hear our words. You hear our thoughts. You hear our desires. You hear our needs. You hear our wants. You hear our tears. You hear our groans. You hear our moans. You hear our sighs. Oh, Father, You're in heaven. Oh, what a blessed thing. He said, Our Father. Our Father. And in John 17, That high priestly prayer that our Lord, that last thing He said, the last thing He did with His disciples was pray with them and pray for them. And you know what He said? He spoke of the Father 6 times. And one of the things He says, Father, Thou hast loved them as Thou hast loved me. How much did the Father love His Son? He said, that's how much He loved you. Loved us. Huh? And here He speaks to the Father, another Father, 6 times. And now the last time He speaks, before He dies. Before He dies. He said, Father, into Thy hands I commend my spirit. Huh? Oh, I tell you, you're talking about a wonderful place to put His soul, put Himself into the Father's hand. He was in the Father's hands all of His life and in the Father's will. But oh, as the Father loves, He says, as my Father loved me, He loves you. As He cares for me, He cares for you. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. And then let me show you a great, great contrast here. You remember how many times our Lord says that I must go up to Jerusalem and I must be delivered into the hands of sinful man. I must be delivered into the hands and be crucified and be slain. How many times did He say that? I mean, here in Luke 24 and verse 7, look what it says there. The Son of Man must be delivered in the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day arise again. When Peter preached on the day of Pentecost, you know what he said? You men of Israel, listen to what I got to tell you. He said, Him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, yes, God was in this. God's in Him. God was responsible for this, and God had pleased Him. But He said, I'll tell you what you've done. You with your wicked hands, have crucified and slain the Son of God, the Just One. And I tell you, He was delivered into the hands of men. And we went down through there and we read all the things that these men did to Him. Do you know how many things they did to Him when He was delivered into the hands of sinful men? They spat on Him. Plucked out His beard. They slapped Him. They whipped Him. Put a purple robe on Him. Nailed Him to a tree. Gambled for His garments. When He said He was thirsty, they gave Him vinegar. And then they mocked Him while He was on the cross. He saved others. He can't even save Himself. If He's a king, let Him come down. If God's His Father, let Him come off that cross. Come down, save us, and save yourself and save us. Man got Him in His hands, and no man done the very worst they could possibly do against the Lord Jesus Christ. But now, He's in the Father's hands. Now He's in the Father's hands. What a wonderful place to be. Oh, now He delivers His Spirit into the Father's hands. And I'll tell you something right now. He'll never, ever be in the hands of men ever again. No. Man did everything he possibly could do. But it'll never happen again. In fact, now, you know, 3 times they kept crying, away with Him, away with Him, away with Him, crucify Him. And they're going to hear one of these days, now you, depart from me. I never, ever knew you. They said, away with Him. And you know what He's going to say? away with you. Huh? Oh my. I'll never hear those words. I'll never hear those words. You won't either. You know why? Because our Father said, into thy hands I commit my spirit. And I tell you, it'd be awful, awful to hear the Savior say, depart from me. Depart from me. Depart from me. Wouldn't it be awful to hear that? I want to take just a minute to say something about that. To think that the Lord Jesus Christ, and you know how many people on this earth today are going into eternity, going into that great abyss. People want to use great phrases to make it look better. Well, they passed away. They've gone to peace. They've gone into their peace. They've gone into their rest. They do everything to make it look good when the Scripture calls it death. Dying. And all dying and never dying for the Lord Jesus Christ to look you right square in the eye. And you say, well, I attended the services. I read a Bible. And I prayed. And I certainly liked the preacher. I liked the preacher. Oh, the preacher's a fine man. I liked him. I liked all the people that was there. But yet to hear the Lord Jesus Christ say, depart from me. I never knew you. I never do you. That would be the awfulest thing to imagine going through in this. To hear the Lord Jesus Christ, who bore sin, who was so willingly, so voluntarily, so gloriously, so joyously, delivered himself up to death, even the death of the cross, and took all this shame and all this beating and all this mistreatment. And then, beloved, for him to ascend to the throne and sit down, and at the judgment, hear him say, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire and darkness forever. And if I tell you what, if you ever leave, if you go on in your life, I won't be as honest as I can. I remember saying one time that the man that will tell you most the truth is the man you ought to listen to. And I'm telling you the truth. I try every time I get up here to tell you the truth, what God says. But you listen to me. You leave here time after time without believing Christ and trusting Christ and embracing Christ and looking at Him as your Savior and your Redeemer and your Mediator and your Sin Bearer and your Substitute and your Sacrifice. If you don't look to Him for that, you'll wish you'd have never heard His name one of these days when He says, depart from me, I never knew you. You'll wish you'd never heard it. I understand what Brother Henry said one time, said, I'd rather my son be a bartender as to believe in free willism, believe he can save himself. Oh, I don't want you to perish. God knows I don't want you to. I don't want anybody that sits under my ministry under any time, sits under the sound of my voice or any other preacher comes in here, I don't want you to go into eternity without Christ. That's why I come here 3 times a week. That's why we have special meetings. To exhort you. Our Lord Jesus Christ Himself. He Himself says, come unto me. If Christ says, come unto me. If He Himself says, come on. Why won't you come? If He says, come to me, why don't you come? He says, you know, if you want to have anything to do with the Father, come by me. If you want to learn something, learn of me. With all you knowing in this world, come to know me. Oh my. Don't leave this world without Christ. Don't do it. Please don't do it. And then let me tell you the second thing. Here's my second point. Not only was our Lord Jesus Christ back in communion with His Father, but we see our Savior is like no other. He is utterly and absolute unique in everything about Him. Here He is. He yielded Himself up to God. It's not the first time He yielded Himself up to God. You see, His whole life was committed to His Father. His whole life was committed to the will of His Father. His whole life was committed to the purpose of His Father. His whole life was committed to His Father's will. His whole life was committed to His Father's glory. His whole life was committed to everything He could possibly do on this earth. Father, glorify Thyself. And I tell you, His whole life, He's the only person in this world who ever was saved by His own works, His own life. He's the only one who ever did it. And He gave Him, you know, in fact, He yielded up Himself to death. You know, nobody took our Lord's death, life from Him. Look over in John chapter 10. Our Savior is unique like no other. He became obedient even unto the death of the cross. That's why it says, He became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. I want you, that's what He says. You think He is obedient unto death, that's one thing. But be obedient unto death, even the cross. But He was unique, especially in His death. Every word spoken on the cross showed that He was controlled. He cried with a loud voice. And then, He has full power over His spirit. And He said, I commend it to you. I deliver my soul up to you. But oh my, look what it says here in verse 17. John 10. Therefore doeth my Father love me, because I lay down my life. Did you hear that? I lay down my life. And listen to this, that I might take it again. But no man, listen to this now, no man takes it from me. Nobody took Christ's life from Him. They didn't. Every time He spoke loudly, clearly. And here, right in His last word before He died, He cried with a loud voice, I want all of you to hear me. Father! And there's a crowd around there. Father, into Thy hands I commit my spirit. Huh? And I tell you, not only that, but look what He says. Verse 18, no man takes it from me. I lay it down of myself. I've got the power to lay it down. And here's what I'm trying to tell you. I have this commandment. He even had power. God commanded Him, and God gave Him this commandment. I read it of my Father. You die when you, in my time, in your time, and you come out of the grave at your time, in my time. I command you to do that. And our Lord obeyed Him right to the minutest detail. Oh my. The end is reached now. Father, into Thy hands. God's satisfied. Christ is satisfied. The Holy Spirit's satisfied. Sin's put away. Sin's made an end of once and for all. Righteousness has been established. And He says, now, Father, into Thy hands I commend my spirit. Let me give you something this here. I'm going to leave you with this. We see also our eternal life and our security, eternal security, in what He said here. You know that? He said, Father, into Thy hands I commend my spirit. You know, our Lord Jesus Christ said, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me. And you know what He said? He said, they'll never do anything to make me ever cast them out. And He prayed there in John 17. He said, Father, of all that You've given me, I've not lost a one. I've not lost a one. Huh? If He commends His hand into the Father's Spirit, and He gave His Spirit to the Father. Now this is what I'm going to tell you. And I've said this so many times, whatever He did, we did. When He put His hands in the Father's, His Spirit in the hands of the Father's, we did too. You know why? Because we were in Him, and everything He did, we did. Huh? Oh my. I say, Here's the thing. Christ neither lived for Himself or died for Himself. He lived to the glory of His Father, and He lived as a representative and died for Him, not for Himself, but for His people, for His elect people. Our Lord Jesus Christ laid down His life for us. And the Father's hand is where there's eternal security. I mean, you're talking about an eternal communion. He said, my Father, He said, I give unto them eternal life and they shall never perish. They're in my Father's hands and nobody's ever to take them out of my Father's hands. Now, ain't that what Christ said? He said, into thy hands. He said, in my Father's hands, I give them to you. And I tell you, shut him, that's where communion's at. And I tell you, eternal communion. What a safer place to be than in the hands of the Father. Noah, you know when Noah was secure? You know when Noah was safe? You know when Noah was saved? When God shut him in. You know when I'm safe and I'm secure and I'm saved? When God shut me in Christ. And shut me in His hand. There you are. There you are. Where are you? I'm in God's hand. How big is God? How many people are in God's God? Oh, multitude, no man can number. But He can hold every one of them. If He can measure the waters in the hollow of His hand, He can hold a bunch of little old puny things like us. He can't. Oh, how much more saved and secure can we be? We're kept by the power of God. And I'll tell you something else. And there comes the hour for us to leave. Us, for our hour of death coming. I hope I'm able to say, Father, into Thy hands, here I come. Into Thy hands, here I come. Would that be a blessed place to be? Huh? Our Father, in the precious name, blessed name of our Lord Jesus Christ, glorious in His person, perfect in His person, perfect in His work, perfect in His accomplishments, perfect sitting at the right hand of God. And Lord Jesus, You teach us and tell us that we're perfect in You. We're complete in You. Accepted in You. Righteous in You, life in You, secure and safe and saved in You. Lord, it's all to You we owe everything. You did it all. You did it all. And Father, we're going to do like Your blessed Son did. We're going to rest in Him as He, after He finished the work, yielded Himself up to You. Lord, the work is finished, and we're going to rest our souls and our lives and our daily life and every moment of it into Your hands, and You'll see that it's kept safe and secure until the day you call us from this world to the next. God bless this gospel to the hearts and hearers today. For Christ's sake, we thank you. Amen. Amen. You got something, Houston?
Number 67.
Okay.